By the way, if you stop by these folks who have those signs on the corners, you know, I mean, you do what the Lord leads you to do. The only thing I've ever given them was a Bible tract. You can invite them to church. They're usually not too interested in that. How many know who Mark Chris is? Mark Chris, he is the director of the Lansing Rescue Mission, and he said, I had a nice conversation with one of those folks. He said, now listen, if you come with me, I'll get you a free bed, hot meals, and you can clean anything you want, all your clothes. You can even get new clothes. He said, we've got a whole closet where things that would fit you and it would look nice on you. And we'd help you find a job if you want, if that's what you're looking for. But we're certainly going to be a help to you if you're interested. No, not interested. Not interested. You got any change? You got any change? So these folks, they're in need of spiritual help too. Romans 12, that's where we're at. Let's look at verses 3 to verse number 8. We're going to focus on a couple of particular verses tonight, one in particular, I should say. But let me read verses 3 to verse number 8. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministry, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, and he that ruleth with diligence, and he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. We're going through our study, what is your ministry, how can God use me, and what is something that perhaps the Holy Spirit pinpoints to use me in, what ministry to function in his local church. We looked at the what the spiritual gift is. It's something that's given by God's grace. It's not a natural gift of my physical birth. That's why it's called a spiritual gift, not a physical gift. It's active as I surrender to God. This is all review, and God leads me to specific gifts for ministry as I grow in him. These gifts in ministry are designed to be used where? Through the local church. Obviously, we can go outside the building walls, but under the authority and canopy of the local church. Every believer is commanded to perform a gift, a functional gift. That's what we're looking at here in Romans chapter 12. Functional meaning something that is done to help in the needs of the local church. We started a closer look at the functional gifts here in Romans chapter 12. A function gift, as we've described it here in verse 4, uses the word office. And verse 6, gifts that are differing. It describes the gifts that are used to help the church on a regular basis. It's a specialty in the ministry of the church. First one we looked at was verse number 6, the gift of prophecy. It says, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy. We discovered in the New Testament church that the main goal of prophecy is not to foretell the stock market or, you know, see what's coming down 10 years from now or et cetera. The main goal, the main purpose, as you see there at the bottom of the review part, is to edify, exhort, and comfort. Edify, exhort, and comfort. And when folks start talking about future events, which is a type of prophecy, but in the New Testament church on a regular basis, that's not necessarily God says wants our focus on, mostly focusing on those types of things, there's a lot of fear in that. There's a lot of fear. And that's what it's designed to do sometimes when it's taught, is to just scare, let me scare you into doing something. No, God says to prophesy is to share my message with my people. It happened in the Old Testament. The Holy Spirit was present when one prophesied in Scripture. And in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit came upon somebody. In 1 Samuel 16, it was Saul. The Holy Spirit came upon him, and he began to share the message of Christ, of God's message, I should say, not Christ, but God. In the New Testament, the Holy Spirit doesn't come upon us. He what? He abides in us as believers, and we can be filled with him. And many examples in the New Testament of God's Word, how the Holy Spirit can use us in the sense of sharing the message of God, certainly in a public manner, whether it's one-on-one, conversational. The platform is not the most important part in the idea of the ministry of prophecy or prophesy here. It is to share what God wants us to share in a very clear but loving and kind way. Without reserve, I think is the idea, without reserve, and let the Holy Spirit lead and guide. Does that mean that prophecy or prophesying, we saw it in Scripture, can only be done by the pastor? We discovered something very interesting. Who can prophesy in the church? Who can have this gift, I should say? Men and women, yeah. But certainly used in the confines that Scripture has for men and women in their ministry. But that is part of God's gift to use for us. Is that a gift of yours? God says, listen, why don't you be open to it and see what the Lord would have. And might use you in that way. Not necessarily for everybody, but certainly witnessing and sharing truth is for everybody. Amen? That's for everybody. So we want to look here today at verse number 7. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. That's where we want to stop right there. We want to look tonight at the gift of ministry. The gift of ministry. Ministry means, quite simply, that it's a common word in Scripture, especially the New Testament, for service in the Scriptures. It's a common word, simply meaning service. How is it used? Who did it? That's what we want to look at for a few moments. Before we do, let's pray. Would you bow with me, and I'll ask God to help us. Lord, thank you that we have your word before us, and we have need of being ministers as well as being ministered to. And so we ask, God, you'd help us to be willing to whatever you call us at the moment, Father. And we ask now that you'd show us, as we look through Scripture, how to apply it to our life. If there's anyone, Lord, that's listening tonight here or on the air, online, who needs Christ, dear Lord? It's a blessing to have spiritual gifts, but you need the Holy Spirit first. Yeah. And that means you need Christ as Savior. So I pray even tonight that that message would come through, that if someone has that need, they can call on the Lord even this evening and see his amazing and saving grace. Thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. The gift of ministry. Have several verses here we're going to ask some help with. Let me start with Matthew 20, verse 28. Who would take Matthew 20, 28? Who would take that? Daryl's going to read that. Thank you. Then we have Acts chapter 6, verse number 1. Who would take Acts 6 and verse 1? Okay, Bob, thank you. And how about Romans 15 and verse 25? Romans 15, 25. Thank you, Judy. He's going to get to do that one. And then Vicki, I saw your hand. Hebrews 6, verse 10, please. Hebrews 6, verse 10. And then the last one I'll hand out here, John 12, 26. John 12, 26. Who would take that one? All right, Kim's going to read that. Thank you very much. So let's take a look at this. The gift of ministry. Ministry, the common word for service in Scripture. The Bible tells us clearly Jesus sets the example. Matthew 20 and verse 28.
Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to be minister and to give his life a ransom for many.
Okay, thank you very much. So our example, praise the Lord, we have others in the church who might do this well, and they're a good example of that, but the Bible says the one we need to look to is the Lord Jesus, the Lord Jesus. How did he do it? Why did he do it? We're going to look at that a little bit later too. Acts 6 and verse 1 gives us another thought on ministry or service.
And in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration.
Okay, thank you very much. We're in Acts chapter 6. By this time, in Acts 2, Acts 4, if you add the numbers of, as the Bible says, who came to Christ, at least how many got saved and are in Acts chapter 6? In Acts chapter 2, there were how many? 3,000. If you go to Acts chapter 4, you find out there were 4,000 that got saved. And if you add them together, at least, and that doesn't include, as the Bible says, and daily such as should be saved, thousands of people were in need of help. So it sounds like the church began to set up a way to help one another. And as they call it here in Acts 6, the daily ministration, reaching out to those who had needs, it was normal activity. That's the blank. Normal activity within the local church. But the problem was it had started to become abnormal for which group? And Bob read it there. Which group were not getting the ministration? The Grecians and their people. That they were not Jews. And so apparently the division of the idea that, well, you know, we're Jews, so we're going to minister to the other Jewish Christians. And maybe they were thinking, so Grecian Christians, you guys got to minister to yourselves. And the Holy Spirit said, no, we're not going to do that. We're all a part of the body of Christ here. It was normal. It was normal activity within the local church, even at the very beginning. Romans 15, verse 25. Okay, here we're talking about the Apostle Paul. He says, I'm leaving my local ministry church area here, and I'm going to go ahead and reach out to the needs of others that I know are out there, meeting needs of believers outside my local church. Do we do that today? Do we do that today? What's some ways we help meet the needs of other believers outside of the local church, or could be even far away, say in another country or something like that? How do we help them? Missionaries, mission trips, projects, etc., that might another area could use help with, and we can help and send a group out or something like that. Meeting needs of believers outside my local church, that was part of the ministry, again, in the New Testament. Hebrews 6 and verse number 10. Okay, part of what makes it ministry that the Holy Spirit accredits, if I can put it that way, is that it's done in love for the name of the Heavenly Father. It's done in love, as the Bible says in Hebrews, for the name of the Heavenly Father. But one more stipulation too, we're going to look at John chapter 12 and verse 26. And I think Kim has that one. John 12, 26.
If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor.
Okay, another stipulation in Scripture of the minister for Christ, or the ministry the Holy Spirit uses, is it is dedicated to following who? Jesus. Yeah, absolutely. We're going to lift up Christ and our Heavenly Father through this ministry. Well, however big or small, you know, something that maybe nobody sees but is helping the needs, whatever it is something that lifts up the name of the Father, and it is dedicated to following the Lord Jesus. Some examples. Let's just look at three of them tonight. Let's go to Matthew chapter 4. Examples of ministers in the New Testament. And think about how or why, I should say, they came to minister. Matthew chapter 4 is where we're going to start. We're going to be in Matthew for all three of these examples. Matthew 4 is where we begin. And let's read verses 1 through 11 responsively, please. I'll read verse 1. If you read verse 2, we'll go back and forth. Verse 11 is where we're going to stop. And then we'll have some discussion on that. Matthew 4, verse 1, here's what it says. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil.
And when he had fasted 40 days
And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple.
And saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou shalt dash thy foot against a stone.
Jesus said unto him, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God.
Again, the devil taketh him on to an exceeding high mountain, and showed him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them.
And saith unto him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Now here's a very interesting end to the story, this particular passage. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, listen, angels came and ministered unto him. Why would angels have to come and minister unto the Son of God? What was he carrying around now that he didn't carry in eternity past? He was carrying the flesh, yeah, which always is in need of something. And the angels, here's the thought here, angels aided Jesus following his physical, remember he was there for several weeks without food and water, the mental, Satan trying to bend his dedication, his worship to him, and spiritual trial, and the angels met those needs. What an amazing story, and I'm glad it's in the Bible, aren't you?
Yeah.
Tells us our Lord, it did go to the cross sinless. This is, of course, the beginning of his ministry, and God, in an amazing way, records it for us. Let's go to chapter 8, Matthew chapter 8. And look at verse 14 and verse 15. Verse 14 says, And when Jesus was come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her. And she arose and ministered unto them. It's always amazing to me how sometimes the smallest passage of Scripture gets a very big focus from us. We don't know anything about this lady other than that a couple things we learn. We don't hear anything about his wife, but we realize, of course, Peter's married because he has a mother-in-law. Then we find out her sickness was very close, looks like close to death, but Jesus came, touched her, and she arose. And then it says, and ministered unto them. Presumably, they were at her house. She was there. Ladies, when somebody comes to your house, what do you want to try to do as much as possible if a visitor comes? You want to make them welcome. You want to be hospitable. And apparently this is that kind of a lady. She desired to reach out and help these people. Simon Peter's mother-in-law hospitably served, but she did it, this was interesting, in renewed strength from Jesus. She met needs. How many moms or dads or whoever would have liked some of that renewed strength over the Christmas holidays, you know, preparing and planning and hosting or whatever. But that day, this lady had an amazing opportunity and ability and reached out and helped meet the needs of those that were there. Matthew 20, let's go there. We heard from Matthew 20 a little earlier, and we'll read that verse again, but let's see the context of it as well. Matthew 20. And we want to look at verses 25 through 28 in Matthew chapter 20. And let's read those together. Would you read those with me? Well, read them all together, please, starting in verse 25, and we'll read down to verse 28. Let's begin. But Jesus called them unto him and said, "Ye know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many." Jesus went about doing good, meeting the needs of others around him. What are some of the good that Jesus did in a physical sense that met people's needs? What are some things that he did that met people's needs and changed their lives, physically speaking? Cast out devils.
Healed the sick.
Healed the sick. What was some of the sickness that he healed?
Blindness.
Leprosy. Remember a guy who couldn't, they couldn't walk, and all of a sudden it's like they never were lame. All these things, deafness. I mean, he changed lives. He even took, remember he was walking through a city one time, the city of, help me out, where they were taking a young man out to his grave. Nain, thank you very much. I couldn't, wasn't coming to me. And he helped that mother, especially that mother, because the Bible points out, what about her family? She was a widow and he was the only son she had and he died. But Jesus helped him. Jesus helped him. Now all these things, the blindness, the deafness, the lameness, the bringing back to life, of course, Lazarus and so forth. Did any of them get any of those people to heaven? Did any of that get them to heaven? No, not one of those things. But certainly he used it to share about heavenly things, to share with them that the Son of God is here. If you put faith in me, you'll have everlasting life. He went about doing good, meeting the needs of others. He gave his life as, here's the blank, sacrifice for our salvation. He met needs. He met needs. We're going to stop right there. We're going to continue on this gift of ministry next week, but praise the Lord. Let's look for opportunities to minister. You know, for some folks, it is a gift of the Spirit to minister to one another, to others, in an amazing way. We're going to look some more about that, but all of us are commanded to serve. All of us are commanded to help and serve, meet needs. Let's ask the Lord's guidance on how to do that and who to do that with, who to do that for. As we go, let's find a partner or two. Let's go pray.